Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, holy shit, it's the goat man. And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my light and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth and one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This episode, I have a guest by the name of Colden Goss, and he's from the Blackfeet Indian Reservation as well, a member of the Blackfeet tribe. He talks about Goatman. Now, Goatman is one of the more scarier things that I think exist in this world. You know, people might have stories about him wherever else in this world, but on our reservation, this thing is one hell of a being. I mean, it's a bad one, man. It's spooky. And Colden talks about they encountered this, it bothered them around 40 times, and he's actually laid eyes on it about 10 times. He's chased it. He's done a lot of kind of brave, gutsy things around this entity. So he'll go into sharing all those experiences in the beginning of the podcast. And then toward the end, we start telling stories about boarding school. That's another kind of hot spot on the res. And this podcast is kind of a long one. This episode's a long one, but I think it needed to all be together. I'm not going to break this one up. So it's a bit long, but well worth the lesson. So I hope you all enjoy it. And oh, geez, let's get into the goat man.
My name's Colden Goss, and this is how I encountered goat. I was probably the goat man or the devil, but one time so my mom and dad's house is just over, just across the field from Beanoville.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend lived in Beanoville. The first day of the house, I was going to Beanoville on the left. And I just moved in from not too long ago, and all of a sudden, it was fine throughout all the, you know, the months, the weeks, the days I lived with them. And finally, just a couple days, I was laying in bed. About 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I woke up I kind of went to the kitchen, grabbed a glass of water, and you see there's a window that's about 8 feet or 9 feet above the ground, because how high them trailers are up there.
Hmm.
There's a window about that high, and you gotta be a really tall person to see, and the window's over the sink. So I got the glass of water, just looking out. Usually I look out that window because it shines on the road. There's one street lamp that shines right there. And I look and shit, all of a sudden I see these eyes. These like really glowy eyes. It's like a deer. You know, and the light reflecting the deer's eye, it shines back.
Yeah.
And I see that and I rub my eyes like I'm tripping or I'm dreaming. I pinch myself and I look again, it's still looking at me, just staring, and I freeze, and my body just drops, and it's like everything, just like my ears start ringing, and I just kind of got really scared, so I took off back to my girlfriend's room, and I told her, and I was there panicking, so we called the cops, and the cops come out, and they come out there, and I described what I saw, how big the eyes, but to be honest with you, it looked like a human, but on the other side, it looked like a fur or something. And the cops come out, they look all over the place, they don't see nothing, they just kind of, you know, they just kind of look around and see if there's footprints. Well, at that one part, it's just like you take your sock off,
yeah,
and you go out and step in mud. It was just like that by that window, but there was only one footprint, not two. And but it was like somebody's running around there barefoot. So, well, I went back, laid down, and I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about it, and there all of a sudden my window's really thin because in the trailers are really thin windows, and I can hear breathing, but and I got up and I kept hearing, and I thought that ain't a dog, because if it's a dog then it must be her or something. And like, I can hear tapping on my windows, it's like it's light tap, and it got louder, and then it got louder, and then it got louder, and I got up. And I took off to the living room, took off outside, and ran right to that spot, and there's that footprint again. And there was only one, but you couldn't see, there was only one right footprint on every one of these occasions.
Weird. And
so I go back in, and I'm really tripped out, like I can't sleep, and I'm just scared. And finally I lay down, and go to bed, and it's the next morning, and so I kind of just go outside and check around and stuff, and I took a picture of them two feet I found, and I was going to go to show some the cost, but then I couldn't find them on my phone. So I messed around that day, you know, I kind of really stood my ground at my house, and finally it was a night, and I was kind of thinking, oh, well, this has just been somebody kind of mess with me. So I lay back down, and it's about 2 or 3 o'clock again, and I can hear something running around the house, like all on like a horse, how horse gallop.
Yeah.
I can hear that running around the house, and I'm thinking, I got up really quick, and I thought, what's going on? Is there a horse outside, or is there horses around here? And so I get up, and I can still hear it, and I can still hear that same breathing. And finally, I get up, and it's like I just had the ugliest feeling, like someone would just tell me, just lay back down, and let it be. And I just couldn't, because whatever, it was kind of, you know, it was scaring, you know, my girlfriend's grandma, my girlfriend and her little brother, you know, like I woke them up and stuff. And I go outside, I grab my baseball bat, I go outside, and right when you come off my porch, there's a little mud spot right there. And there's that left footprint again. But this time, there was like a hand or some type of print, kind of a like ways from it, like a leap. And right then and there, that's when I kind of got scared. I felt chills, but I kind of got scared because I was thinking, is there like a zombie or, you know, like a human running around my house? And But that footprint was just a man footprint, like a fully grown man sized footprint, but that hand was too. And you could see how far apart this thing was because the footprint had looked like it, like the toes sunk in, and you can only see the heel part, and then the hand was right there. And I kind of got scared, so I ran. I kind of have a fence around my place, so the backyard, it's really dark back there, you can't see, but there's only one little light that shines in the corner. So I go back in and I just shut the door and go lay down, and it's 3 o'clock, or, you know, yeah, it's 3, and all of a sudden I can hear stuff outside on my back porch, in my back porch woods. You can hear like something, like something walking up it, walking around, and I opened my door, my back door, and I kind of got scared, so I kind of peeked out, and you can see whatever this thing was. It was about 8 feet tall, 9, 7 feet, but you could see the back of it kind of going around that house corner. And I walk out, and I kind of have my baseball bat, and I kind of be really quiet. And right where I said that light, you could see where the corner of that light is, the only light that shines. I peeked around my house, and shit, there it was. It was probably 8 feet tall. And I start from the bottom, and I looked up. And by the time I looked up, he's just looking at me, and his hands are like starting. His hands are like, you know, kind of bent, like, you know, like how these pictures are on Google you see these days of him, you know, like goat man, and how his hands are like skirts, like out and like bent in.
Yeah.
Well, his hands are like that, and he's looking right at me, and like my heart drops, my body freezes, my ears ring. There's just pressure going to my stomach, pressure going to my chest, and it just got like, you know, it just got like everything just kind of went blank, and I focused on him. And but what I can only, like I said, all I seen was a human, but on the other side, I it was black because of the way he was standing at the light. So we stared at each other, and I'm sitting, and it's just like I'm frozen, stuck in one spot, and all of a sudden, he just takes one long stride, and he's kind of taken off. So I get behind him, and he started running, and he was kind of laughing, but he was running quick, and I chased him down to that Beaverville Road, and then he caught behind that, you know, that blue building out there.
Mm-hmm.
He caught behind that, and he kind of took off towards the track, but I kind of stayed up to him. And all of a sudden, the way he ran is he ran high up, so he ran high, so his feet would, so he'd stride high, and I kept thinking, this ain't a human, this is goat man, or this is the devil. And finally, he takes off, and I lose him, but in the distance, you can hear him still laughing, and, like, screaming, like he's having fun doing this. And I go back in, and I'm really shook up, and I'm scared, and so I call the cops again. They come out, and I tell them, I bring them outside, describe what I showed them, and this, and they're all sitting there bug-eyed, and they're like, eyes are huge, and they're like, wait, are you sure you're chasing the human? I said, you know, you guys, I think I'm chasing Goatman. And they said, what? And I said, I'm chasing the Goatman, or I'm chasing the devil. And they kind of seemed like I was crazy, and I said, no, it's pretty wicked, but where he was standing, there was mud, and then, but finally, you can kind of see that print of like a hoof and then a foot.
Mm-hmm.
But you really couldn't tell because of the foot was in mud, but the other foot, but it was kind of on cement because I had the cement little padding back there, and you could kind of either tell it was another foot or it was a hoof. But it kind of looked like a hoof to me. So the cops looked around, you know, they stayed out there for about 25 minutes, an hour, had all their lights, and then they said, oh, there's nothing holding, let's just head out. We're going to head out. We're on speed dial. Like, all right, guys. So I go in, lay back down, and mind you, this happens like weeks or months, you know, just this thing keeps bugging my house and my family. And so the cops leave, and I go back in and lay down, and all of a sudden, you can just hear, you can just hear that, I can hear that, keep hearing that laugh in my head from a distance. And so I go down, I go to bed, boom, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I hear a big old bang, and it comes from outside, so I jump up, go outside, and I kind of thought, okay, so I'm going to play it so you can see it. If he thinks I'm gonna go out the front door, so I'm gonna go out the back. So I went out the back and he was just walking back to my place. He was creeping in the ditches, and I kind of watched him creep in the ditches back to my house. And I kind of got scared, like you know how you get really scared and your eyes start watering. I can see this thing on four. Kind of striding back to my house, and I looked and I looked again, so I kind of walked back to my back door, and you can hear scratching on stuff, and so I kind of ran around that corner, and there it was again. So 6 o'clock, it's kind of daylight around that time, and this was last year, 2023, around May or April.
Mm-hmm.
And you could kind of see, but it was kind of dark still. And when I took off around that corner, there it was, and there's my truck, and there's my girlfriend's grandma's car, and it took off, man. It leaped, and I chased it again across down by the tracks again, and it started laughing and just basically doing tricks while running. And I was really shocked, and I didn't want to tell nobody, and I tried to call my girlfriend, but she just didn't want to hear it because we already knew what I was chasing. And it's about a week later from that, and them other couple days were all good, you know. I had nothing messing with me, you know. We had good night's sleeps, and I was speaking okay, so it left. You know, it's gone. It's gone, but. And then, so, it was about, what, a Saturday, Friday night, we were all going, I got home, I forgot what I was doing, but I got home kind of late, and I was going to go in and kind of eat dinner and relax and probably take a nap, and, you know, all of a sudden, I kind of fell asleep, and it was about 1, 2-ish, or, you know, it was 3 again, and I can hear this bang, just walking around my house, and I got wood. I had lumber on the side of my house, and I had tin. So the wind ain't blowing. Nothing's, it's just calm out. Like, but you can hear something breathing again. You can hear that it felt like a foot in something hard walking on that wood. Then all of a sudden, you can hear boom. Hear that tin. You can just hear a bang on that tin, and it woke almost everybody up, and I walk outside and nothing. And I think if this thing's around here, I'm gonna be brave enough and go look for it. And so I grabbed my gun. So I thought, you know, I'm gonna start taking the gun with me, and I loaded a shell in it, and I think it was a 30-06. Yeah, I loaded a shell and I took it off safety and I kind of walked around a corner where my window is and there's that footprint again. Mm-hmm. I kind of walked to that pin, there's that footprint again, and I kind of walked kind of around the corner and there's that footprint again, and there he, and there's that, and there's Goatman, I will call him, we'll just call him Goatman. There he is, kind of leaping away to the pavilion. And I look in that scope and I can see a little speck on his head, I saw him, and I could see the, it, but I just couldn't see the other side, it was just black, but I could see the human side of him. But he didn't have no hair on one side. See, he was bald. It looked like. But like I said, I can see a little speck. As I can see, like something poking out of his head. Like, and I thought it was a hat. And I really zoomed in on my scope, and no, it was like a little sharp thing. And I looked, and it was just leaping away, laughing again to the pavilion, and I kind of got tripped out because I kind of thought I was dreaming or I was hallucinating or I was seeing stuff. And nope, my girlfriend's grandma said that she heard everything too, and my girlfriend just heard everything too, and then this friend that was staying there said he can hear everything too. And it kind of scares me talking about it because I just kind of there ain't that many people that, can witness that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, about a couple days later, it was kind of a cold night. And I was kind of, same thing. I go in, kind of watch TV, and I kind of go to bed. And you see it happened at 3 o'clock every night. And it was 3 o'clock again. And I kind of talk to some people and they say, oh, 3 o'clock is the devil's hour. And I look at them and I say, what? And they say, yeah, it's the devil's hour. And I go to my papa and he says, yeah, it's the devil hour. So I call my papa and that night, my grandpa, and I kind of talked to him, and he's like, have you been getting blessed by that thinker? I said, no. And he said, yeah, I know. I've been hearing them cops on their scanners. That one night they went out, and they kind of said they were going down to beat the coolie, and then all of a sudden their scanners start glitching, and they said that their lights start going off and on. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, really spooky. And I said, whatever this is, but and I kind of told him, it's a demon or it's Goatman. And he kind of laughed at me, it's kind of hard for people to believe you around here unless you really have proof.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's why I didn't tell my story, but back where I was, it was another night. It was about a Thursday night that next day or that. Oh yeah, it was in a week, and it was about a Thursday or Wednesday, and it was like 3 o'clock. And see, I always woke up at 3 for some reason during this time. Hmm. And I just kind of laid there, got on my phone, turned on my side, and all you can hear is boom, 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 something bang on the side of that house, and I'm like, no. No, this is it. This is gonna be the final night. This is gonna mess with me. So I grab my gun, run outside, and boom, 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 boom. And by the time I get to the door, I can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. This time it was getting longer and it was getting louder. So I went around the corner and I couldn't see nothing. Nothing was there, and I'm like, in my girlfriend and I, they're all up. So I walk around the house, there's like footprints on the roof. And I'm like, that's the pot I detect. So I go outside and look on the roof, nothing. Finally, I was so close to taking a shot off in the air with my gun, but I thought, then why do that? So I didn't even call the cops yet. So I go inside, and this is kind of like the final night. It kind of quit happening, but right after this, I can see stuff, and I start seeing I look in my scope, and I, you know how you look across, and there's all the old junk stuff over at the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't tell nobody this one, but you look across, and there was something sitting there with a leg. There was something, a figure sitting there with his legs crossed. You know, like how a kid sits in a, you know, like how a kid sits on a bench with his legs crossed and he sings them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this figure was doing in his hand or in his lap, and he's looking right at me straight across. And oh my, it was swinging. They were swinging good, and looks like he was laughing and, you know, kind of, you know, like twiddling his fingers. And I got really scared, and I thought to myself, should I just shoot this thing right now? And all of a sudden, it looked like I was just looking at it, and all of a sudden it was just walking towards me. And it started walking, it started kind of running towards me, and I kind of take off inside, and I didn't tell nobody. I kind of locked the door, and I go back, and I lay down, and I go under covers, and I'm sitting there crying because I've never ever witnessed anything like this. You know, and like I said, I grew up over just across the field over at my mom and dad's place. And I'll tell stories about that later. And this thing just comes walking towards me, and I look and I just kind of peek out my pillow, and I look out that window, and boom, there's them eyes again looking right at me in that window while I'm in bed. So I just jump up and I take off, and there's that thing running to the pavilion again. So I said, I called the cops, and I said, the cops, hey, the figure's out here, the figure that's messing around my house is out here, that it took off to the pavilion. And so the cops come out, and I knew the two cops, you know, they were my buddies and stuff, and they were telling, so they showed up to my house, I showed them what I saw, and they kind of wrote it all down, and then all of a sudden I said, but it leaked to the pavilion, and they said, it leaked. I said, yeah, it leaked. And their eyes just got big and dropped, and they just got pale white. And I said, but it's over there. It should be. So that, and they said, all right. So they pull over there, and I watch them out of my window. I don't even dare step outside. And then I kind of see they shine a light on it, and they kind of get out, walk over there, and they said nothing. I said, all right, well, I'll just call if I see it again. And that cop said, just shoot it or hit it. And I said, all right, well, you told me I can shoot it, so... It was about a week later, and it was about 3 o'clock in of Monday night, and it was really strange because of the times this thing would come out and mess with us. It would start from 2, it would start from 2 or 3, and it would last until 6 o'clock in the morning, and then it would quit. And all of a sudden, I was laying there, and I can, you know, hear tapping and on that trailer house there was one loose board, like a loose panel, and it kind of tapped when the wind would blow. But this was like something grabbed it, ripped it, and hit the side of the house with it. So I got up, and it was a loud bang, and it's kind of like this thing went around banging went banging around on the ground. Because you can hear thumps, and then you can hear little bangs on the house, big bangs on the house. And so I get up, and I woke up my girlfriend, and we were laying here. I said, you know, let's just lay here, and we'll just let it bang. She said, okay. So I did it. I kind of let it bang, and it kind of kept doing that. Finally, it just kind of stopped. So when it stopped, I kind of said, okay, well, it probably was just the wind. So I lay back down and closed my eyes, and shit, all of a sudden you can hear boom, 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 boom. And there's that same thing. So I jump up, run outside, and there was that figure again standing right in front of my truck, kind of gate, like bringing its fingers, like kind of trying to lure me to him, like kind of waving his finger, like, "Hey, come here."
Yeah.
And I grabbed my bat. By the time I didn't have my gun right then ready, and I just picked up my bat and I took off after it, and shit, we go running down the road, and we ran from that place over to the highway and kind of down across the tracks, and I was right behind it, and on one side I can hear like a barefoot run, and on the other side I can hear like a loud thump, like a loud clucking. And I thought, what is this? And I my body kept telling me turn around, or my body was telling me like it's scared, you know, like I'm scared. I kept running, and man, we were running, man, and this thing was going about, 15 to 16 miles per hour, and I couldn't even catch up, but I could see in the distance kind of turn towards the blue building on the highway and take the ditch, cross the track, so I took off and did the same thing, and right then and there, I thought, you know, this is, you know, I'm going to kind of disappear, and I said, I'm going to start running back to my house. So I turn around, running back to my house, and I can hear something chasing behind me, running behind me. And I didn't want to look back, but I can hear that barefoot and that fucking behind me, right on my tail. And I take off back to my house, and I'm running full blast, and I can hear that thing. And I can hear that, and I can hear this thing just kind of giggling behind me, like a man giggle. And I blow into my house, lock the door, I grab my truck keys, and I tell my girlfriend, let's go see if we can find this thing. So we jump in my truck. Now my truck, it was kind of loud, you know, it was an old Dodge, you know, it's kind of an old Dodge, second gen.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of had pipes on it, so we'd started, and it would rattle, and we'd left, and we kind of got down the road, and all of a sudden, this thing come popping off the road, kind of running across the road, and I kind of paused it in my eyes for a second, and kind of blinked, and it kind of stayed in my mind. You can see the one side of a man, but you can see the other side, but you can see that little pokey thing on the head, and like a horn, and it runs over, you know, where the dump is. It kind of looked like it jumped. It just kind of looked like it jumped at the dump, trash dump fence, and took off running towards the tunnel. You know where the tunnel was down in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looked like it took off running towards there. So I put my truck in park. I jump out and I start running in that field after it. And shit, we make it probably almost down to Depot Coulee, and I can still see the wind trail of it in the grass, kind of lead, and so I follow it, and it dropped out of Deepa Coulee, and I kind of stood there, and on the edge of that little bank facing down in Deepa Coulee, and there's all them willows, and then there's that tunnel, and there's on top of them tracks. Well, there was that I was sitting there, and you can hear giggling, and you can hear him breaking through the willows, and all of a sudden you can hear this echo, and it was like a scream that echoed, went through all it. It looked like he made it to his safe place. That's the tunnel, and it got echoed, just screamed through the whole thing. You could just hear it. So I took off back to my truck, and I go home, and I call the cops. I didn't go home. I met the cops at that Sinclair's Blasting Auto.
Mm-hmm.
I met him there, and they kind of just took a while because they were on an MTA, but this thing, it felt like I was getting blocks. It felt like something was just next to me, and I just kept my head straight, and I told my girlfriend, just don't look around, don't look in the back, don't look on the side, but don't even look out your window, just put your head down, play on your phone, and if you hear something, looked up, seen, and I sat there and waited for him, and all of a sudden, here come my buddy, and here's a cop, and Officer Wildgun, and he showed up, and he said, "Hey, what's going on?" And I told him, the case just figure again. And he just got white, and he said, "You chased it?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "All right, where'd he go? Did he run to a house?" I said, "No." I told him he ran across. I chased him across this field, and I chased him down into, I tried to chase him down into Cthulhu, but he went down to that tunnel down there. And Officer Wildgun just just kind of looked at me like I was joking, but he understood that I wasn't, and I immediately kind of got pale white, and he said, "Okay, well, I'll go down and check it out." So they went down there, and they checked it out, and I still parked at the Vidal or the Sinclair's Glass, and I'm watching them go down there, and they just said nothing. And so I went back home, and it was about a couple weeks later, and the same time, 3 o'clock. But all it was at this time, it was a Saturday night at 3 a.m. All of a sudden, all I heard was a boom, 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 boom. The door started wiggling, and I'm like, "This thing's gonna break in." So I get up, tell my girlfriend, she gets up, we run outside, and nothing. I couldn't even see it, but at far distance, I can see it. I can see that thing kind of running and hiding in the grass. So I go back to bed, and it was about 6 o'clock. So whatever it was, it must have hidden that grass until 6 o'clock, and then I got up, and I could, and my girlfriend's grandma said, I can hear something out here. You want to go out and check it out?" And I said, "Yeah." I went out there, and there it was, right behind my pickup. It was scratching on my truck, and the scratch marks are still on my pickup, and you can see the long claw marks, and it was like writing stuff on it, like kind of said, like the F word, and it said like "kill you," and it kind of had like claw marks and stuff, and it kind of keyed my whole truck around the whole thing, and then it went over to her grandma's car, and it did the same thing to hers. And I ran outside, and there it was behind my truck, and right then and there, I just seen a full picture of the face, that human face, a man face, but the other side looked like an animal. And it took off, and I chased it again, and this time it was gone. It just took about, 10 leaps, and it was already at the pavilion. And I called the cops, they come and take pictures of it, and they show up, and I sign a report, and they do their thinking. So this is about a month later. I haven't heard nothing since then, and we were moving out. We moved up to Olo Rent, and we moved out that trailer house, and so we kind of get settled out, and it was daytime. And it was a nice day, and we were moving out of that house, and I kind of got an ugly feeling, and I looked in that window, and there it was, that figure from a long distance. I can see it. This probably from that house across the road to that ditch, and it was shaking its head, it was shaking its head back and forth, and it was pointing at me. And I rubbed my eyes, and I could see it again, and it was doing that, and all of a sudden it just disappeared. So we load up our stuff really quick, and we move out, and shit, we haven't been out there ever since. And now we moved to Low Rent, and I don't even hear nothing about it anymore. And and this is like my first time talking about it. Yeah. And that was the last time I ever ran into him.
Damn, so over all this time. All this time it was bothering you guys. How many times do you think it was around?
Shit. It was around about every day, because sometimes, one time I'll tell you another story, and this story's about it. One time, so before this all happened, we got spooked in the house, me, my girlfriend, and her sister. We were in there, and I snowmobile, so I had my helmets on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all in the living room, we were watching a movie, and we were like, oh, so let's go to the store, and I forgot my truck was broke down. So we kind of get out there, and we're kind of watching movies, and we're kind of out there, just laughing and talking and visiting. All of a sudden, my helmet falls off the wall. No wind or no bang. It's just a boom. And I look at my girlfriend. They all get scared, and they all come running towards, me, hiding behind me. And it was just the ugliest, deadliest, scariest feeling in the house you could ever get. It was just, my heart just dropped, and it's got the chills all the way up my back. And it was just scary, and it was an ugly feeling. So where I said, oh, my helmet just fell. I'll just let it be. I'm kind of scared to go back there. And boom, we heard another bang, and it comes from the other room. And how the doors work is you can see from the hallway, you can see the crack of the door down that hallway. And it looked like something was standing in that crack of that door. And I tell them guys, I ran outside, and I stayed outside, and all the doors were open. And I kind of went back in there, I kind of peeked, and when I peeked, that black shadow was gone from behind that door, and it kind of really bugged me, and I kind of got kind of spooked out, and then, all of a sudden, my girlfriend said, oh, I don't want to go back in. Let's stay out here. So I said, all right. So we did. We stayed out there, and we stayed outside. And then all of a sudden, we heard another bang. There was a boom. And it kind of got trippy. And yeah, from a couple weeks later, Goatman start messing with us. But he'd mess with us, it was about 40 times. He messed with us 30 times. I ran into him about 10 times during that whole process, like face to face, but I never could get close to him.
Damn. But that's interesting. You said vertically, one half of him was human, and the other half was an animal of some kind, huh?
Yeah, it was some kind of animal, because, I can tell a human, but these eyes on this human was huge. Like if a bug had big eyes, that's how. It was just totally sketchy, because one half was a man, a bald man, but the other side I could never see. See, now a human in a light, you can see the other half of their body.
Yeah.
Because when the light shines on you in the dark, one of them street lamps, like you can see a full human. But this, I just couldn't see the other half, but I can see the arms of it, and it looked like I had little fur sticking up on it.
Jeez. At one point you said you were chasing it, and when it was running away, it was doing these tricks. What do you mean by that? Like, what kind of tricks? Like, what was it doing?
It was just, we were running, and it would kind of run backwards, spin around, and look at me, and run, and laugh. Mm. And then all of a sudden, it would spin back around, and it would, kind of trying to make me follow it, like thinking I was going to follow it.
Yeah.
It was kind of, it would spin, it would run backwards, and then it would kind of like do a cartwheel, and then, it's kind of jumping around, and finally it just took off.
Damn. So you think it was running, well, You said it can run on all fours too, right? You seen it on all fours creeping around and
stuff?
Yeah, I
seen it on all fours creeping around, because at first I kind of thought, oh, it's just a crackhead out here, you know, it's kind of, you know, one of them, you know, guys, you know, a crackhead out here that's, you know, messing around.
Yeah.
And I really got to look in and know it was running on, it would kind of leap on all fours so the ass end of it would kind of be up in the air, and then the hands would be down on the ground. It would like crawl like an army crawl. Or like, you know, one of the exercises people do, how they do that?
Like a bear crawl?
Yeah, it was kind of like that, but it would do that sometimes, and sometimes it would like a monkey. It would like kind of walk like that, but on all fours.
Dang. So its eyes, I mean, when you got, did you get a clear enough look at it to see where its eyes were placed at? Like, where were they on the head? Like, where were they positioned, on the sides or on the front like ours or what?
You be honest with you, the only time I got a clear vision is they were separated from the nose. So they were probably kind of like spread it out towards the side a little. But at night, you can see them deadly good.
Damn. You know that tunnel down there when I was small? Heck, we used to just go down there and play around. When I was a kid, it would have been like in the 80s when I was really small, and we used to ride dirt bikes and stuff. You know, there used to be a dirt bike track right there, right off Depot Cooley, like when you're heading out before you take that turn toward the railroad tracks, like on 89, yeah. You know? There used to be, that's where we'd play.
Oh, yeah, and seeing me and my brothers, shit, we used to take dirt bikes, ride dirt bikes through there and stuff, and we never thought of anything.
Yeah. That's how we were. We were small, but we always heard, because in the 80s, they always were talking about devil worshippers, this and that. And there was a big old bleachers, like a big set of bleachers, where they used to have rodeos there in Depot Cooley, kind of behind Rodeo Drive.
Yeah.
The street there. And I remember there was a bunch of stuff always written there, like, you know, evil-looking things like pentagrams and things I didn't understand were written underneath it. And I remember hearing stories of that thing hanging out right there, and then we didn't think nothing of it ourselves. It was daylight, and a couple of my friends and I, we'd walk, just walking around, you know, because in them days you never had phones or anything, so we were always outside, and we followed that little creek all the way back up there one time, and it led to that tunnel, and we always heard stories that, yeah, don't go too far back there, that's where all those devil worshippers hang out, and we didn't. We knew that, but we didn't really believe in it. And so we just went back there anyways.
Yeah, that's just the same as me and my brothers, you know. We were tiny, had these fancy dirt bikes riding down in there, you know, and we would kind of jump in that creek, kind of lift them up in there and drive all the way down to that tunnel. But at the end, shit, it would kind of get spooky, so we'd have to back our bikes out there, and, you know, and we would build jumps to jump them crits, and we would, you know, walk down there, we would bark, you know, we'd make a fire down there, and we'd just hang down there, you know. It was kind of like our little cool spot, you know. But, and then after hearing all these stories about Goatman living down there, and the devils living down there, and these demons living down there, it's kind of like we just kind of stopped going there.
If you were to guess, like, what do you think it is? Do you think it's a physical thing, or do you think it's a spirit? I think it's both.
I think it's both, because, you know, I've lived on Browning my whole life, and, you know, I've witnessed, you know, these, I don't know how to call them, because on your podcast, you know, it just kind of like, I'll just say, you know, these crackheads, you know, you know how they act?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've, you know, witnessed a lot of them, you know, like, though, you know, like, scary acting, but I've never ever witnessed, that's what I told myself, I never witnessed a crackhead this scary, you know. And no, and I knew it was a human, but it was something else, and it's spiritually, and it's a, you know, it's both.
Dang, man. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. And it was. And you see, and it would only mess with my house. Nobody else's.
That's really weird. That geez, when would this have been? This would have been years ago, man. Maybe 6-7 years ago. I was with my dad. He wanted to go to they were having a wake out at that Glacier Homes, that, you know, that wake center right there. And
yeah,
we were just sitting there, and my dad was talking to one of his buddies, and he said, "Hey, I'll tell you guys a story." And so, all right. So, and then there was really nobody around. There was like maybe two other people in there, and just me, him, and that guy. And there were some people in that kitchen, but it's pretty bare. It was late. Later, anyways, and he started telling us his story. He says, "Hey, man," he says, "I've been, taking care of some horses up by Femoville for this guy." And he didn't say who it was, but he said, "Those hills back in there, you know, to the south of the railroad track, some hills back in there." He says, "Yeah, there's,
yeah,
he's got horses back in there. I was taking care of those horses for him." I want to say he was taking care of cows too, must have been both, but he said, I start hearing stories about that place," he says, "but I never really thought too much of it." He says, "till one day I was riding back there, and he says, I was just going back. I was riding on horseback, and I was just going back. And he said, those cross-country runners, they run from there. There's a part where they got to run back that way somewhere." He said, and I seen them, and the way they were running, he says, there was two of them. They looked like they were running away from something. And he was asking him, "Hey, you guys all right?" And they just shook their heads. They said, "Don't go back there. There's something back there. Don't go back there." And he said, "Well, that's where I had to go because it was, you know, the livestock was back there." So he didn't, you know, he kind of got scared, but he rode back there. But he was on high alert, you know, just making sure he was watching everything. And he didn't see nothing back there. Nothing, you know, there's nothing that showed itself or anything, but he would see those runners. I want to say he's seen them twice running from something back there. But somebody after that was telling him this story. He says, "Hey, you know, we see you going back there. Don't, there's this old railroad cart thing that's kind of abandoned back there." He says, "I don't know if it was on the tracks. I don't remember right. But there's like this railroad cart." And he says, this non-native guy, this white man, he says he's, you know, it sounds crazy, but he's got that goat man trapped in that cart. He said, so really be careful when you're around that way. And I don't know what that white guy does with him, but, you know, he's got him trapped in there." That was the one weirdest kind of story I heard. And this guy's a cowboy, you know. Cowboys don't, for the most part, don't really bullshit around.
No, that's serious.
So, and you could tell it took him a lot to tell me and my dad that, because he was just sitting there and he really looked around before he started talking, and then he kind of got quiet and even hunched down on the table a little bit, kind of put his head down a little bit, and he's looking at us, telling us that story like he didn't want to be heard.
But, yeah, and I kind of believe that, because, you know, like where you're talking about, it's kind of about up behind where the windmill is back in there.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandpa actually told me about that cart.
Really?
Because me and my brothers used to ride four-wheelers back in them, back by way back there.
Yeah.
And one time he told us, "Don't ride back there anymore, or you won't be coming back." And we looked at him like he was joking. No, he was dead serious.
Dang, man. I mean, that thing that's around our town is
very, very powerful.
Yeah, that, oh, geez. And you know, the people I worry about are the ones that, where they just built those new houses by the housing up on that hill right there that just overlooks that tunnel.
Oh, yeah, and that's when I when I used to live over there, I used to look across, you know, when I used to stay in Femoville, and that thing was, I used to look across, and I used to think, man, I wonder if anybody's got scooped over there.
Yeah, there's stories from that place. I've gotten one on, if you care to listen, it's Adia Bullshit. She tells stories because they live like, oh man, like right there. I want to say like they're one of the last houses that just look right at it, right down in that coulee. You know, they're close to that side of it. So she has a few stories about her, that house, you know, but it's nothing to do with the goat man. But she's got some stories about that. Something that followed her one time all the way up to that house from downtown, and, you know, just things like that. But no, that whole area is pretty bad, you know, for that thing that's there.
Yeah, and I was thinking today, you know, this, of everybody getting followed on in this whole town of, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, I want to, you know, I wish I knew way back then what this town's built on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really a swamp. Browning's built on a swamp.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And I don't know why that makes it like that, but it does. You know, I've talked with this about some of my other friends too that are, you know, Sundancers. You know, they follow that tradition away. I've talked with them, and you know, we all agree that it has something to do with that water, that swamp it's built on. And I don't know why, but you know, we all kind of speculate, and that's what we think. It's something to do with that. But then again, you know, us natives are more open to that spirits and whatnot. It's just how we are, you know. Like you could go. It's not uncommon to have like a, how would you say it, a coffee table discussion about you know, spirits and stuff. It's not uncommon for that to happen around houses. You know, different. You go each house to house, and they'll have a story for you.
Yeah, they will.
So I mean, I think that's another part of it too. These things might be everywhere, but we're more open to that just because of how well we're raised, and we don't really doubt them. We know they're there, you know, and things like that. But do you got any protection that you can use after this story you told me?
Well,
smudge or anything like that?
Yeah, I you know, after that all happened, you know, I mean, we moved into our new house, and you know, and I kind of smudged, and you know, I, you know, prayed holy water, and you know, but I still had dreams of this thing, and you know, but no, and everything, and now I mean, it feels like we're safe where we're at, you know.
Good.
It feels like we ain't getting watched anymore.
Dang.
But it was crazy.
I wonder if there's got to be more people that have stories of this thing, and it's just one of those that's hard to talk about if you've seen it, you know.
Yeah, because you know, I didn't even know about, you know, your podcast until last night. One of my friends sent it to me, and you know, I listened to that Mike Conley story. Right when they come up with Goatman, you know, that's a mice, you know, like, I kind of got scared, and I kind of, like, you know, my heart started racing, and then I kind of got, you know, like, thinking about what happened to me. So that's why I wanted to get a hold of you, you know, and tell you, you know, like, you know, you're the first person I ever told about this.
Jeez. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate you sharing it with this podcast, with the world, really. I mean, these stories, I think, need to be told because, for one, it might help somebody down the road. If something's happening to them, they'll know at least that they're not alone, and they can talk to people about it, you know. And not only that, but your kids, your grandkids down the road are going to want to hear these stories too.
So yeah.
It saves them like that too.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, and you know, I'll be outside, you know, or like, you know, I'll be at work, you know, or I'll be outside, and I'll just, you know, think, you know, I'll look, well, you know, I'll look out there, and I'll just think that I could have been killed or hurt, or you know what I mean, chasing this thing around.
Jeez, man, that's a spooky thought, because you're telling me you're chasing it. I was thinking, oh, this guy's gutsy, man. He's got to be a cowboy. No,
yeah,
but that's what I was thinking of. This guy's gutsy. Jeez.
Yeah, and then, you know, and me, I was raised, you know, I was kind of raised tough, you know, and I, you know, I was kind of raised like them kids, you know, that that I had to get raised, you know, tough skin stuff.
Yeah.
And but through all my raising in my life, I was you know, I was scared when it come to ghosts.
Hmm.
I was that one kid that, you know, my brothers would say, "Oh, let's go walk in the pavilion," and I'd be the guy to say, "Oh no," but then I'd act it, or I'd be the, you know, the crybaby when I had the whole group, so.
Shit, I don't blame you, man. I wouldn't walk in that pavilion.
Yeah, and we used to walk in there, and sometimes we'd hear banging in there in the bottom, way in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody trapped in there, maybe I'll take off.
Yeah, listen to Priscilla Potts LaPointe. That those episodes she talks about when she went in there, she drove in there one night by herself. She's got a story about that too. But,
oh yeah.
No, but she didn't know. She didn't. She heard stories, but she didn't really realize that she had to drive in there because she was waiting for somebody there. They were supposed to meet up, but she had to use a bathroom, and so she just pulled in there to use the bathroom real quick, and something happened to her in there.
Oh, I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah.
And then I have a lot of other stories if you're not in a hurry, if you want to hear them.
Yeah, let's hear your stories.
Well, this was shit, probably 2014 to 2013, boarding school.
Oh.
You know, my uncle Mike Goss, and my auntie and their kids, my brothers used to live down there, and I'd always go down there and stay with them, but there's just something about boarding school.
Yeah.
And well, one time we were all outside playing, it was dark time, and you know where the old dorm is, the gym, and there's some basketball courts back there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we were all back there playing, and, you know, shit, we would play it all, we'd play called dark, and then all of a sudden, my big brother Jace would kind of come out and start scaring us, and spooking us, and telling us, "Oh, what's that, you know, just being a real ass, and,
mm-hmm.
So, one time, we were all playing basketball up down there, and, you know, and we all had ugly feelings, but we didn't like it down there because of the, you know, it was scary, and we got done playing basketball, and my brother told me, "Holden, grab that ball." And I said, "All right." So I went over and grabbed it, and it rolled to that window. And it rolled to that first window on that dorm, and I looked in there, and there was a lady right there.
Oh.
And I looked again, and I'm like, you know, and I thought it was, you know, the worker, and she was all wearing all white. She was looking at me like I scared her. And I was still in my position of grabbing that ball, but I didn't grab it yet because I was closed. You know, I was stuck on this. And, you know, and I look, and all of a sudden, it's just like she just went, like to blow a kiss, but my cold air just hit me through that window, and I grabbed that ball, and I took off running. And, when I took off running, I looked, and my grandparents always used to tell me never to look back. Well, this time I looked back, and she was just right on that basketball court coming out towards me, and I took off right by the gym, and I ran in that house, and I just went in the bathroom and cried. I never told anybody. You know, I got scared too, and then another time down there, we were in the gym, so my dad Shane Goss, he used to work for the maintenance down there.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd have to go in there and the gym and turn it all on. But the only thing sucked about going in that gym is the light switch and the breaker box is across the gym.
Yeah.
so you'd have to kind of you know, put your put whatever you're wearing in sport mode and fly across there and switch everything on and hope and pray you don't get spooked.
Yeah.
Well, one time, we got a call and he had to go down there. It was about 10 o'clock and So I told him, I'm coming to your dad. He said, all right. So we left. And we got down there. And right when you walk in there, you know, you go through that first door and there's some steps. And then you open the other door and there's a gym and there's all them concessions and there's like the middle rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We go in there and he pulls out his flashlight and signs it in there. And there's a ball just in the air floating.
Oh.
And we all froze and I looked at him and he was pale white. Don't talk. And I kind of got scared. So I'm just a little tiny guy, you know. I'm about 10 or 8. So I kind of go up and latch onto his leg. And he kind of said, "Hold, grab my hand and squeeze it tight." And we just kind of walked it through this gym. So we kind of make it towards the middle and that ball drops. Boom. And it just pops.
Oh.
He bolted across and turned that light on. And I remember that light used to take forever to turn on. They had to warm up.
Yeah.
So he'd flip them on, and we stand right at that breaker box. He'd sign his light each direction. And he was really hot. You know, he was really aware really quick. And so we go in there and we found the problem of the. We go in there and fix it. And he says, all right, we got to go to the basement.
Oh.
And that's one spot I used to hate, man. and we went down there, and the basement, I forgot. Yeah, it was my dad, I think. The basement door, that door just slammed shut on us behind us, And in my head, I was just thinking, oh, it's the wind, you know, and just kind of playing it cool not to get scared. Well, that door slammed shut on us, and we kind of keep making it through there. We go down to there, we pick some stuff, we come out, and there's two balls in the air.
What?
Floating. Yeah, two balls in the air floating, and my dad's like, all right, shut these lights off, we're getting out of here. And he said, all right. So we shut some lights off, and I'm facing that breaker box. And face up, we turn around, and them balls are right in front of us, floating just in our nose.
Oh shit!
And I kind of scream, and we kind of make it toward that door, and it just sounded like these old Indians playing basketball, and it really you can hear like these shoes squeaking and these balls are, and that ball's bouncing, you know, getting past one person, the other person, and finally my dad yells, "Hey!" And all of a sudden that ball stopped and it popped, and that's when we just take off. And then another time, them houses back there. There's one house back there, shit, I forgot what house it was, but it's one of them log cabins. It's still there. And, shit, one time, me and my brother were, driving. It was winter, so they had snowmobiles, so we were back. He was pulling us back there. He was pulling us back there. I accidentally fell off. And, well, I thought I did, but I got pulled off by something. And see, the way I got pulled off is I got pulled off quietly and quickly, where they didn't even tell I got pulled off. They thought I was, my other brother thought I was still on the sled with them. And then when I got pulled off, right in front of that log cabin and that log house. And I look away, and my brother Keenan's still talking to somebody, like, you know, like he's still like looking like he's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And so I got pulled off, and I'm trying to, you know, I start crying in that one spot because I didn't want to walk around the house. And so they lived in the house, you know, right when you first pull in there, that brown house, and then there's that green looking house that went great when you first pull in. It's just straight in.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in that one, and they like I said, I got pulled off in that NCA, and one thing I never did was cut through that little backyard part of the houses. I never ever did that. So I kind of start walking, and I look back into that window. There was an old man standing there. He kind of looked like a nun, you know, one of them nun, a preacher.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, oh, this guy must have saw me get fall off. And he just kept staring at me. He had the wickedest, deadliest stare. It kind of made me just, I kind of start crying the way he's staring at me. And I start walking, and them guys, they were already back by the gun range. They were already turning around, and I can hear them say, where's Colden? They're like, I don't know. So I start walking, and that I kind of look down to tie my shoe, and I looked up, and there's that old man right in front of me.
Oh.
And he says, hey son, do you need help? He's like, hey, do you need help tying your shoe? And I looked up, and I said, no, I got it. And says, walk with me. And I said, no, I'm gonna walk back to my house, I gotta go home. He said, walk with me or I'm gonna hurt you. And that's just when I took off, and I can hear him clicking the back of my shoes, like running and chasing me. And I just ran to the house and ran inside and started crying. And another time I was, I think it was last year, I went down there all by myself to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear these two little kids down there, and it sounded like a boy and a girl. And I was out there along the creek back there, and I walked all the way up the creek, and I can hear like these rocks getting thrown and skipping and singing. And I was thinking, oh, it's probably some kids. Shit, I'll probably run into them. And shit, I didn't run into them, but it seemed like they passed me. They were singing, and it looked like they passed me, and I looked at them. And I kind of got creeped out. I just got the chills right now. and it looked like they just, like I'm faced towards the light, the crit, and it looked like they just come behind me singing and start making their way. So I just keep fishing, and I turn around and start walking back to my truck, and there's this kid and this girl, this boy and his girl on the end of this bank, kind of swinging their feet, singing and throwing rocks. And I can see them clearly in person, and I say, hey, you guys all right? And they look up, and they just keep singing, and they're louder, and my ears start ringing, and the louder they sang, the more my heart start pumping. And that one little girl's like, And I forgot what that little girl said, but she let out a scream, and that scream said like a shockwave. And all I hear is that boy saying, run, run. I took off to my truck, and I locked the doors, and I never been down there since this winter.
Jeez. Dad, that what you're talking about, that boy and that girl, when we used to because I used to go to boarding school down there in that old dorm. And remember the first night I went in there, I could hear them playing. They would play on that little boy's end in that back room, because there was no, just bunks were stacked back in there. But there was nobody that stayed back in those back four or so rooms. And there was a red exit light right there that would shine light in that area back there. And I thought they were kids just running around back there, like, you know, us little boys. I thought there was us, and no, everybody was in their beds, and my bed was close to that hallway, and I could look down there and see, just by laying there, just look down and see down there. And at first I never seen anything, and I could just hear their feet, though, slapping on the floor. They had that hard VCT tile all throughout there, and that's what I hear them running on. And I tried to look to see him, and finally I did. I seen the end part of first that boy, and then when they ran back across that thing, I seen that girl. And that's when I got scared, because I knew that wasn't real. Because everybody was in bed, man. Nobody got up. I was awake. Nobody's up playing back there. It was right before I fell asleep. And we used to all hear that at certain times, you know. We'd all hear that, and we'd all get scared. We'd pile in those rooms together, and the matrons would get mad at us because we were not in our beds. So, you know, they'd kick us back to our beds. And one night, we just kept getting scared and kept piling in that one room, and the matron finally had enough, spanked us all, and made us go to our beds anyway. So, yeah, I've told that story before. We've been spanked and spooked all that same night. That was a miserable night. But,
yeah, see, and that ain't the first time I ran into them little girl, to that little girl and that little boy. You know, I ran into them about 3 times, and you know, I actually walked with that little girl when I was a kid one time. One time I got dropped off down there with my mom and dad. You know, I always used to get dropped off with my uncle and auntie down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never told nobody this story because I just forgot it. It just kind of came back to my head. But, I really didn't tell nobody. You know, nobody really knows this story I hear. But, I walked down there and, you know, and I was kind of fighting with my brother, you know, because, you know, I kind of grew up with them, so I call them my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of fighting with them, so I kind of take off to do my own little thing. Well, it was about evening time. I was down by the creek. I was fishing, you know, all by myself. You know, I caught like 3 little fish, and I was just getting ready to bag them up and bring them back to the house because they were kind of, I can hear them yelling for me. And all of a sudden, this little girl came walking at the bush. And she said, hey, can you walk me home? And I said, and I just looked at her and I said, yeah, I'm walking. Where do you live? And she said, I live over there. I live at the door. I said, okay, I'll walk you home. So we start walking, and she, and I could tell something was wrong with her, and she wasn't normal. And all of a sudden, we start walking, and then she just starts singing. And then we make it over there. We make it to the dorm. And then that little girl says, okay, thank you for walking me, but my brother wants to see you. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, my brother wants to see you. And so I waited there, and nothing. And she kind of walked down the corner. I walked around the corner, and she was gone. And I turned around, and her brother was on that swing, just staring at me in a mean, dead stare. And I looked, and I said, hey, you want to see me? She said, leave, I'm going to kill you. And I said, okay. So I start walking, and yeah, all I can hear is, leave! And it just echoed.
Yeah, boarding school's got a lot of stuff down there, man. Even that one you were talking about, that old lady in white.
Yeah.
Those older kids used to talk about seeing her down by that river. One of them said they seen her under the water, like laying under there. Not floating away, just laying in one place, but underwater. Said they were walking by that bank and seen her down in there.
Yeah, and that's what my Uncle Mike used to tell me. He used to say that, he's seen that a couple times. You know, they would hunt back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard stories of people seeing that old lady underwater. But I swam there last summer. And that's what I kind of thought of. But no, yeah. And then my mom used to go to what was it? She used to go to boarding school, that's the name of it, I just forgot. And she used to run into that old lady.
Yeah, we didn't like going in there when you were talking about going in that gym, because even that room where that breaker box is at is spooky. It's dark in there, you know, that little room.
You'd have to buckle down and take off.
We used to play there at night. We'd head back over when it got too late, and matrons would all wait out there and hold that front door open, and we'd all take turns going there and shut that light off, and next night somebody else do it. You know, just kept doing that, and man, those guys used to raise hell. They'd close that door sometimes, so you couldn't get out of there. And, you know, we used to have to do details, like those chores. We'd go down there and clean that, those bathrooms down there and stuff. And, like, I never liked doing that, man. I just hurry up, get it done, and get the hell out of there. This felt too spooky down there, man. It felt like there's something down there.
There's something about boarding school that's really scary. And, you know, and I know there's a lot of stories out there about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, and then a couple of other times, it was about a long time ago, about 4 or 7 years, and I've got scratches on my back. I mean, I was swimming, and I thought I was swimming with some kids. Come to find out, they're spirit. And they all start scratching me, bullying me, poking me. Dang. So basically, what I thought in my head is they were gonna kill me and drown me there.
Yeah. Where at? Just right down there, off of those basketball courts. Right down by that part.
Yeah, just right across from the basketball court. See, I used to climb that fence because I never liked going down, you know, where that little turn off is, that road brings it to the crypt, or there's the gun range one that brings it to the crypt.
Yeah.
I used to climb that fence right there and walk through the brushes and go straight down off that and swim right there. So I used to bring all my toys with me.
Yeah. Oh, dang. Yeah, because that's where we used to play around that too, in a same spot. I don't know if Mike Conley knows, but that's where he almost broke through that ice and got sucked under. And there was a little spot there where it kind of ran like a little bit of rapids. There was a hole in that right there, and the ice was really thin, but it went under ice again. Heck, there would have been nothing we could have done for Mikey that time. Mm-hmm. Sure glad he never went out further on that ice.
Or, one time, it wasn't a dream, but I woke up and I was outside. And I remember crying, and I looked up, and you know where them little grain elevators are up there, and little water towers on the hill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I look up, and I see this lantern. And I got told a bunch of stories about the headless horseman.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this lantern, and I can hear this horse. You know how a horse cries sometimes, you know, like when they get excited?
Yeah.
Like, I heard that on that hill, and it was about morning time, and I could see this horse and a guy up there. It was dead scary, man. I got so many stories that nobody even knows that I keep secrets for my whole life, and it kind of feels good bringing them out, you know?
Yeah.
because you know, there ain't that many people that believe you, and then they think you're lying, but no.
Well, the stories you're telling, they track with everything I know too, because when we were small, that little area we said you bring your toys, like right in there, we used to a guy named Snooze Revis, he used to bring us there, and he's the first one that started really telling us ghost stories. And he said, he said, you guys gotta watch out now, because sometimes you'll see a lantern around here. He says, be careful of that. Don't go around it. He says, and then other times, he says, you might see fire shoot into the air. He says, don't be too scared when that happens. He says, all that is those old graves that are around here. He says, they were never embalmed. Sometimes their gases escape their body, and when it hits oxygen, it turns into fire. He said, you don't have to worry too much about that, but if you see that lantern, you know, don't go near it, don't fool with it.
Yeah, well, I always thought it was about the headless horseman, you know, that guy that carries that lantern, you know?
Yeah.
I always thought it was that, but no, I've seen that lantern, and, you know, I've never been around it, but I've seen it from a distance, and you think it'd be a flashlight, but no, it's one of them old school lanterns.
Yeah, Colden's gonna have another recording with me soon, and he's gonna share more of his stories. So stay tuned for that. And the next one after this is gonna be the Sioux gal named Traveling Spirit. She's gonna be sharing stories. So yeah, let's stay tuned again for that one. And again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being here, showing all the support you do. Wherever you can comment and let me know. Should we start putting out the merchandise stuff? Like, you know, t-shirts, hats, coffee mugs, all that stuff. Kind of want to know what y'all think. If I should kind of dabble into that. I'm not sure about it. But if y'all want, I might think a little harder about it. I have a friend that's an artist that he's going to send me some designs just to so I can look at. I'm looking into it. I'm kind of wading into it. I'm not really deciding if we're going to move forward. Well, we want to move forward, let me put it that way. But I'd like to get your input on it, everybody. So if you can, just leave a comment somewhere. I'll get it. And just so you know, on Spotify, they don't allow us to respond back. I don't know why. You can comment on there, but we as creators can't respond back. Just if you've had any questions and you've asked them on Spotify, I can't answer those directly with a comment of its own. So I'll be doing a episode where I answer all the questions that you've submitted on Spotify, just so I can get those answered for y'all. All right, till next time.